from Matthew chapter number 12. I want to look at verse number 22. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. Now, this was not the exception. This was fairly normal for Jesus' ministry. He was always healing, restoring, and helping people to break free. A demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak, couldn't see, and he couldn't talk, was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. How would you like to be there in that crowd watching that happen, right? The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, there's always a group like this, right? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Now be careful, because this is still true of Jesus today. He knew their thoughts. He didn't read you like a book. And replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. There's a good word in season for us. Amen? And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you've said. But if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Oh, it's pretty powerful stuff from the mouth of Jesus. So, Father, thank you. He always took a moment in illustrating his greatness and his power and his mercy and his compassion to teach us a deliberate, intentional truth. Thank you for the word. Victory's ours because victory belongs to Jesus. In his glorious name. Amen? You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. We need to turn the tide on the enemy. I love what Jesus did. He kept doing that. He turned the tide on the enemy. Now, atmosphere is everything. I love the atmosphere we have here today, right? We worship God at Calvary Christian Center. We sing about him at Calvary Christian Center. If you come back next Sunday morning and then Sunday night for that communion service, the atmosphere is incredible. Amen? We lift Jesus up at Calvary Christian Center. I preach about Jesus at Calvary Christian Center. We have to remember that there's a spiritual battle taking place. In demonology, the spirit world, listen, Satan is hardly mentioned in many churches anymore. Just like heaven and hell are hardly ever preached about anymore in churches. It's time for us to get in leadership, get back on track and teaching some of these more fundamental principles that Jesus talked about continuously in the message of the Gospels. The Word teaches us clearly that Jesus himself was casting devils out of people. Do a word search in the New Testament. Many times before healing the sick, Jesus would take authority over the devil because Satan is very real. There's a battle we're engaged in. We live in two different atmospheres at the same time. We live in a natural atmosphere and we live in a spiritual atmosphere continuously, day in and day out. The spiritual atmosphere cannot be seen with our natural eyes, yet we see the results, don't we? Of the spirit world all around us. We see how that manifests in the lives of people. God created us to live on a planet with an atmosphere. He designed us to exist and to function in an atmosphere. That's why some will pay good money to go to a nice restaurant. Aren't you glad when they're open? Amen? and go in there and sit down. And, you know, I mean, you might cook the same meal at home for less money, but you want to go out because you want a change of atmosphere, and you're hoping for some peace and quiet, and that the parents who bring in their children in there have trained them how to behave in public, right? So the atmosphere stays conducive so you can have good conversation and a good meal and enjoy yourself. Wow. And I think it's important, though, those restaurants get to open again so we can go fellowship like that again, right? We're praying for that. And God also created us to live in a spiritual atmosphere. And let me share this with you. God responds to atmosphere. He does. That's why we are commanded, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Well, in the atmosphere that's created by attitudes and how we function in the realities of God's presence. How do you do these kinds of things? Well, we do them because we are taking God's word and applying them to the way we gather individually and collectively to worship the Lord. There's a difference between God being everywhere, omnipresent, and his manifested presence. What causes God to manifest his presence is the right atmosphere. God says atmosphere is everything. I don't respond to just any environment. And he responds specifically to an environment. We were watching a number of years ago when our son was in a position where he didn't need to be spiritually. And we decided one night at my mother's home to pull out a video that we wanted to watch. And it was called Atmosphere for Miracles. And it depicted some of the greatest healing moments and crusades and ministries all over the world. And here's what was created, even in the kitchen that night at my mother's home. The atmosphere changed in that room because the atmosphere what we're watching and participating in was one of worship for God. And all of a sudden, it was like Jesus was in the room, in the kitchen. I mean, when you create an atmosphere where he's welcome, he shows up. Atmosphere is everything. He says, I don't just respond to any old environment. So if we've created a conducive atmosphere around us, one of the elements for that is the unity of God's people. When we gather together with one mind, one heart, and one purpose, right? We lay aside our positions and our, this is what I think and what I want and my opinion, and we start unifying. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And at the end of that psalm, he says, for there, where there's unity, the Lord commands the blessing. God's presence shows up. The atmosphere is going to change. God responds to us when there's an atmosphere for worship. We've been in services and the worship is anointed. Jesus is magnified and the presence of God begins to manifest. And if we respond to the presence of God, he releases a greater measure of his presence. And if that gets shut down because we quench his presence, if people are unresponsive, if there's disunity and anger manifested among God's people, his presence is not going to manifest to the level that he desires for us. If you walked into a room and spoke to someone and they didn't even respond back to you, they had an attitude, you'd not force yourself. Well, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the same way. When the presence of the Lord begins to manifest as we worship, how we respond creates the atmosphere and determines whether or not God is going to release a greater measure of his presence. God loves celebration. That's part of an atmosphere. God loves an atmosphere of praise and true worship, where we forget about us and it's all about him. It doesn't matter how you feel about it or what our preferences are. God is the one who has commanded us how to come into his presence. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. He loves music. He loves an atmosphere where worship is engendered by musical instruments. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Wow. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He loves animated worship. He responds to that. Praise him with hands lifted, clapping, singing aloud. God loves a celebration. And if you begin to celebrate him, he's going to show up. He's drawn to, he inhabits, loves to live in the middle of the praises of his people. The atmosphere God looks for in his people is one of praise, one of worship. He avoids complainers. He avoids fault finders. He avoids murmurers. He avoids a critical spirit. He avoids complaining, but he seeks out worshipers because that is the atmosphere God inhabits. Are you listening? The scripture teaches us very clearly how God responds to that. Jesus was talking about the Father, and he said, the Father seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth, and that hour has arrived. And it's for us, he said, to enter that way. So he goes looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who honor him. He avoids those who have nothing but criticism and complaint. In the spirit world, there are principalities, there are wicked spirits, there are rulers and powers, different ranks of authority in the world of the demonic, the spiritual atmosphere around us. And the word says that Jesus cast out devils. He broke their bondage in the lives of people. Why? Because they are occupiers. He describes that in the passage I read to you. They try to occupy, and then they try to control. He cast them out because they are real entities. They are real beings. And here's an incoming text for you. Devils are still real, and they are in our world today. And you cannot fight the power of the spirit world in natural ability or just with education or with money or human resources. You have to fight spirit with spirit. Amen. Spirits seek expression of their will in time and space. They're wanting to impose their positions and their direction and their and those things that they are looking to do on this planet in time and space. No evil spirit can manifest his will in time and space without someone providing him the opportunity to open the door of invitation. If a hateful spirit is going to manifest, it happens because someone assisted and gave themselves over to the attitude of that spirit. A hateful spirit manifests hate. Influence can be real, but it cannot manifest in time and space without the assistance or the opening of the door by some human being. The Holy Spirit has a plan and a will for his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? And he desires, God does, to express that will, but he needs people who will express his will and create an atmosphere for his presence. And how do we do that? By standing firmly on the principles and the values of his word. The question is this: we can create an atmosphere for worship. We can create an atmosphere for God to work. We need to do that all throughout our country. I liked what the former NFL linebacker got up and said at the convention this past week when he concluded his speech. He quoted the scripture that a lot of us have been quoting: if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, he will heal our land. And I said, hallelujah. I'm glad that people are starting to recognize we can create an atmosphere for God to restore our country. Amen? The question is, what spirit dominates us? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then he gets to dominate and control our lives. Then the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. That fruit manifests. Spirits cooperate to expand their territory. It's one thing when a person is being influenced by the power of Satan, but when more gather together and they're being influenced, that's what the enemy desires, because he starts a movement when that happens. When more gather and all of a sudden the influences continue to multiply, that's where the enemy manifests himself. Then it begins to spread the power of wickedness and spread the power and the message of the wicked one. The enemy has to have someone to work through, and that creates an atmosphere. Now, all spirits are not the same. Jesus said, this kind, in referring to one he was dealing with, his disciples had tried to deal with and had no success. And then Jesus, with a word, cast that spirit out of a young boy, and he said, this kind comes out. The spirit had some rank, some ability beyond other demonic spirits. This isn't spooky. I'm teaching you what Jesus Christ taught. There's a reason some people do what they do, with the hatred and the evil and the wickedness that comes out of them, because devils are real. And it's naive for Christians to ignore this truth and pretend there's no devils working in our culture. Oh, yes, they are. And if you haven't figured that out by now, I think it's too late. That's right. Jesus said, this kind, he was saying, this is different than the others. This kind is a different rank. This kind has some power and ability others don't possess. This kind requires fasting and praying to displace him. There are ranks of authority in the demonic world. Let me share a few with you. First, there's low-level demonic activity. The word calls them vexing spirits. These are spirits that oppose you as a child of God. But not every bad day, by the way, let me say that again, not every bad day is a demon attacking you. Okay? We're balanced here at Calvary Christian Center. We recognize that there are things that happen in life that have nothing, the devil isn't within 2 miles of it. Okay? Because we make choices or decisions and get ourselves in a mess, right? So we can have a bad day and has nothing to do with the devil. It's just we made some bad decisions that day. Or we were at the wrong place at the wrong time and we were affected by whatever was going on that day. So, but not every bad experience is a devil. We need to be very balanced and careful and discerning of spirits, the scripture says. But a vexing spirit is evident when you are oppressed all the time, 24/7, oppressed in your mind. You're constantly down. You're constantly discouraged. And this stuff just rolls over you all day, every single day. There's a hopelessness. There's a sense of it's never going to change, a desire to give up. And then it begins to lead into suicidal thoughts. Who do you think wants you to kill yourself? Okay. The CDC released a stat the other day that was astounding. 25% of young adults, it's 1 in 4, 25% of young adults considered suicide during the lockdown. 1 out of 4 considered it because of the oppressiveness of what happens when isolation takes place. I just heard the other day someone saying, if I get elected, I'm going to lock you all down if medicine says to do that. Well, I don't think that's a healthy thing to do, okay? So thoughts of hurting yourself, that's a vexing spirit. Now watch, any believer hearing this, born again, you have authority over any vexing spirit that's come to oppress you, torment you, depress you, or bind you. And here's what you do. You do what the word says. I exchange the garment, I put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When that spirit is working on me, I begin to praise God. I change the atmosphere in my environment. I begin to put on worship music and I begin to give thanks to God and praise his name. When depression and hopelessness, a desire to quit, that it's never going to get better attitude comes on you, when that atmosphere begins to envelop you, here's how you take authority over it. You say, in the name of Jesus, that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm putting on the garment of praise and thanksgiving for this spirit of heaviness. Master, I praise you. I'm not hopeless. I'm not defeated. I'm not listening to a lying spirit. I have hope. I have a future. I have faith. I have expectancy. You are with me. You called me royal priesthood. I'm a child of the King. That's how you shake the devil off. You shake the devil off. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you want to be down and out and depressed and suicidal, goodness, make the choice to change that atmosphere. Or as a follower of Jesus, listen, you become the victor. And you can say, I rebuke that. I'm going to live this life to the fullest. I receive the joy of the Lord. That's my strength. And greater is he who is in me than the one oppressing me in the world. Father, I praise you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day. Get up and praise the Lord so the spirit of heaviness in that atmosphere breaks. You will drive the devil crazy. And it's good to do that. Get back at him, amen, and not stay depressed, needing to self-medicate yourself. Here's what some Christians do in a season of attack. They start to pout. And they pout toward God. They get angry at God. Things didn't go the way you wanted them to. So people just, and they're mad. And the atmosphere around you will applaud that because the enemy is just going to be cheerful when you start doing that. Then they quit going to church. I'm going to go to church. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to do any of that. Sit there and pout. You give God the silent treatment. Go ahead and try that. Go ahead. See how that works. Let me help you here. You will not outlast God because who do you think is going to last the longest? You are God. I promise you, he has more time than you do. And every second you let tick off that you're living like that is a second you're never going to get back. And you're going to live under a depressive spirit instead of in freedom and in liberty. Remember, God is spirit. He's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Go to the truth of God's word. Amen. If you want to change things, change the atmosphere. So I'm saying to someone, depression has reined you in long enough. You need to rebuke that devil. When the devil shows up at your life or your house, your money is not going to buy him off. Your education is not going to argue him away. You're going to have a spiritual weapon at your fingertips, not patty cake, just kind of praise him. When you feel like, no, you praise him with your whole heart. If you're tired of being pinned down, you want to get up off the mat, start praising the Lord. These principalities have differing assignments, and they have different ranks and different levels. I mentioned vexing spirits. Second, there are lying spirits who infect humans with doctrines of devils. Did you know devils have doctrine? They have a belief system. And they teach it, and they engender it, and they pass it off to the vulnerable to believe it. Doctrines of devils are teachings and thought patterns that come out of the spirit world and principalities. These powers begin to control the way people think and massage them in directions that take them to destruction. The extreme of this has happened to the atheist. They are under the influence of the doctrine of a devil, the doctrine that there is no God, that all of this just popped up out of nowhere by coincidence and circumstance. I'm sorry, that's not a normal conclusion. Life is too complex to think it just happened on its own. That's the doctrine of a demon. Thought patterns, false doctrines, belief systems, organized thought processes are dominated by the thoughts injected by devils. So all of a sudden, we're born again, and we come to a faith to know that in repenting, I am forgiven, and I become a child of the King. But if my thought pattern gets influenced to think, well, now I can continue to live the way I've always lived because I got my ticket to heaven punched, so I don't have to follow what God's word says. I can follow what my feelings want and what my desires are asking of me. And even though they're contrary to the word of God, I'm okay doing that. Well, let me tell you with a definition, that's a doctrine of the devil. That's not God's truth. God's truth is that with his ability now as resource that I didn't have before, now I can start to live by the principles of God's word. I was incapable of doing that prior to my being born again. But the enemy will immediately come in, try to steal the seed that was planted, and teach you it's okay to go back to your old lifestyle. Just live any way you want. You don't need the Bible. It's only God's kind of owner's manual, how you should live, right? So these are things that take us in the wrong direction. Very dangerous stuff. The subtle deviations in Scripture taught by those who are unaccountable in particular, who refuse to be accountable to spiritual authority and the principles of the New Testament church. Unless daily you take up your cross, Jesus said. What does that mean? That means that I go to battle with my old nature. I have a war to fight today. He said, unless you're willing to get up and do that, take up the responsibility that I've placed on you by giving you free access to forgiveness and eternal life, you cannot be my disciple. He's pretty clear about that, isn't he? That's not nebulous. That's not, well, I can do it my way or do it his. No, I'm going to do it his way. I want to be his disciple. I'm going to say a few other things. So, and I know when you're quiet, it's sinking in, right? Racism is a doctrine of demons. Did you hear what I said? I said racism is a doctrine of demons. Those who claim to be white supremacists are under the influence of the doctrine of demons. Anti-Semitism and those who espouse it are under the influence of doctrines of demons. People who hate in the name of God are under the influence of doctrines of demons. If in any area today for the church has been constructed and built for, it's today. We should be taking the lead here. We should show the world this is what the church looks like. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, there were people of every background in that room, in the upper room, and those that were listening from the street and who became early members of the church from every background throughout history. When the church has functioned the way God's intended her to function, and that's been the truth of the way it's been shaped and formed. When he gathers his people for that great reunion in the heavenlies, it'll be from every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. And there will not be allowed any racism or superiority of some who think they're better than others. None of that is permitted in the body of Christ. Anything that teaches that stuff is a doctrine of devils, not truth from God's word. People who strap bombs on themselves and blow themselves up and others in the name of Allah are under the influence of doctrines of demons. People who dabble in Eastern religious practices, they open the door for Satan's ambush in their lives. A believer can take authority over lying spirits. And let me tell you, it doesn't just influence people who attend church or people who call themselves Christians. Listen to this. I was reading this even this morning. A Christian pastor believes that He's a Christian pastor, believes that abortion is a human right, that it's something that the richest, I'm quoting him, the richest nation in the world provides its citizens, end quote. He said, I think that human agency and freedom is consistent with my view as a minister of the gospel. In other words, abortions are Christian, okay? Well, some of you might remember the NFL great coach, Tony Dungy. He read that himself, and he responded. He said, quote, I'd like to know what book the candidate uses as their foundation for truth and guiding principles. Dungy said, as again, a Hall of Fame National Football League coach, it couldn't be the Bible he's founding that on, because when you read the Bible, it's pretty clear. And then he suggested this minister start beginning to read some of the Psalms and how God so constructed human life. And I'm thinking, thank God for people in the church who know his word and stand up and suggested this minister start reading Psalm 139. Because he said, if you believe the Bible is the word of God, you cannot read this and conclude that God doesn't view the baby in the womb as life. Thank you, Tony Dungy, for standing up. Amen? Thank you. In the body of Christ, we have a fivefold ministry gift to the church: pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets. And God has invested in their leadership the ability to know his word, to teach it. Scripture says in the New Testament church, every day they studied and listened to and ingested and learned from the apostles' teaching. They take the word of God, listen, and we need to teach the truth of God's word against doctrines of devils that don't align with the principles of Scripture. Any religion that says there's any other way besides Jesus Christ to heaven is a false religion. There's only one way: Jesus Christ, his blood, the cross, the resurrection. There is no other way to heaven. And third, there are territorial demonic strongholds and spirits. Now, there are a lot of other ranks I don't have time to get into, or we'd be here a long time. There are very high-level demonic powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers over they preside over the dark stuff that's happening on this planet. They're over certain geographical areas, over some nations, over communities. They're called territorial spirits. I believe that in some cases, some people have their minds influenced this way. They must be dealt with. In the coming move of God, these territorial spirits need to come down. And no one person can take authority over the spirit influencing the nation right now. It's going to take the body of Christ uniting and praying against these spirits, against the spirits of immorality, against the spirits of perversion, against the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit trying to establish itself over the United States of America, stealing freedom from people and imposing a socialistic form of... Listen, it takes the whole body of Christ beginning to pray about these matters: racism, abortion, restoring biblical values. We have the power to stop the aggravation of the enemy in the United States of America. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to stop the Holocaust of murdering of the unborn and the newly born that's been going on in our culture, with over 600,000 per year being put to death. And if God doesn't respond to that, folks, we are fooling ourselves. So we need to call on the Lord to forgive us and to change our hearts. Amen? These are demonic powers attempting to control and influence the culture or community and the whole nation, kicking God out of schools, kicking God out of our institutions, not wanting God to affect our thinking. because I can say I'm a Christian, but then I'm going to go ahead and advocate for values that are not lined up with the Bible. The scripture says, no, that's not the way it works when you're a follower of mine. We turn, let the culture turn into godlessness, whichever seems good to me, culture, with no moral absolutes. Anything is okay. My truth, your truth. Listen, there is one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's demonic power ruling and reigning. It takes believers praying and fasting in unity, establishing strong churches, churches that preach God's truth, who will deal with the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's a movement that's going to happen at the end of September back in Washington, D.C., called The Return. I know Franklin Graham is going to be a part of that, and many of the leading ministers of our nation are going to be a part of that. And I hope you'll tap into that. It's called The Return, because it's a call for God's people to pray, to repent, to fast, and to believe God to throw off the bondage of darkness that is trying to envelop our culture. Paul emphasized this in Ephesians, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, by the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So if there's a message we need to send to the adversary, it will come through the church by the revelation of our Lord to the church to tell these principalities and powers, you've got no authority over us. So the atmosphere the church has allowed, and the guilt really falls a lot on our doorsteps. The atmosphere the church has allowed to develop in America is so important for us to address today. And pastors from the pulpit, it's time to address these matters clearly. Watch this. A response to a spiritual influence creates an atmosphere. There are spiritual influences, the Holy Spirit, and demonic powers. Whichever one you respond to creates an atmosphere in your home, in your family, in a building like this. When you're dealing with spiritual powers, atmosphere determines the outcome. The atmosphere is as important as the information. For instance, we know our God is a healer. Why do some churches never see any miracles of healing? There's no atmosphere for healing created. Simple answer. Why does the Holy Spirit never move powerfully in some churches? The atmosphere is not open to it. It's not open. The atmosphere can restrict the presence of God among his people. But when you're in the right atmosphere, stuff begins to change. Miracles are possible. When the Spirit of God shows up, people start forgetting about themselves. In the presence of God is manifested, and healings begin. Miracles happen. Supernatural deliverance and answers to prayer occur. Even before there's a time, we call people to come forward to pray. During worship, healing begins because the atmosphere is charged with the presence of God. People are responding to the Spirit of God, and what happens, the will of the Holy Spirit is now imposed in time and in a place. And suddenly, sinners can't stand it. They grow under conviction. They walk forward without much of an invitation, surrendering their lives to Jesus, because spiritual power is real, and we need spiritual power once again in the church. When we get in the right atmosphere, something good's going to happen. Amen? And if we get into the wrong atmosphere, something not so good's going to happen. Satan knows this. The devil knows the power of atmosphere better than we do. So you end up in a party. You were born again 6-7 weeks ago, and it was genuine, but you're lonely. You feel isolated. You're having a rough week. And some old party friends call you. So, yeah, I think I'll go with you. And you head back to the party with them. Now watch the power of atmosphere. You walk into the party. The party has an atmosphere. The music creates atmosphere. Lighting creates atmosphere. The techno beat creates atmosphere. the alcohol, the dancing, the provocative attire. It's what God reminds us in the Word and tells His people to be careful and to be of modest attire. Don't get mad, be glad, because we need to honor God's presence. Amen? There's an atmosphere in those places, and everything is designed to promote sensuality. You walk in there, and that atmosphere begins to work, and spirits are at work, and the devils have one purpose: to destroy families, destroy lives, break apart human hearts, to get someone hooked up, to pass along a disease, to get pregnant out of marriage, creating an out of covenant soul tie, where you start giving away a piece of yourself to someone else in your relationship with them until your heart is fragmented into pieces. That stuff is just beginning to happen in those atmospheres. You're in an atmosphere, and the spirit then begins to impose its will in a time and in a place, and the environment just starts taking you where it will. Some in the church haven't gotten this yet. Don't get the power of the atmosphere, but Satan sure knows how to play it. Your response to spiritual influence creates an atmosphere. You know that now you're more prone in that atmosphere to do something you will regret. So you stay away from that atmosphere. Why? Because you just walked onto the devil's territory, and there's a spirit behind it inspiring all of it. It's designed to mess up and destroy people's lives, because he is a destroyer. He's one who's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and he's playing forever with you. He intends to win. Designed to mess you up. The goal of that atmosphere in that place is to lure you into wrong behavior. And then when you get a bunch together of like-mindedness, trying to cooperate with one another, the Spirit says, now just give me some expression. And it just takes one to start it, then another joins in, and another, until more and more are doing it, and that's exactly how the enemy does it, right? That's why we have to guard our minds. I preached it to you last week, that we are to be careful how we control our thinking, because the battle goes on between our ears, right? A couple of weeks ago, I shared that with you. Our tools are ready at hand for the clearing of ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. We are to capture every thought and make sure it comes into subjection to the Word of the living God, because thoughts go all over the place. They take us places we regret going. I was thinking about that the other day when I was reading what Jesus said and what the Scripture says. You know, if you were to go to court like a particular person did a number of years ago, 18 years ago, a woman by the name of Betty Bullock sued a tobacco manufacturer for damages because of the damage she incurred smoking cigarettes. Well, the court sided with her. Now, she only got $850,000 in compensatory damages, but she got multiplied millions of dollars in what was called punitive damages because of the added suffering and difficulty created for her family. Now, why did they award that extra money to punish the company for doing those kinds of things to human beings, hooking them and getting them caught up, okay? The Bible says we are entitled to punitive damages from the adversary. Did you know that? Here's what the Scripture says. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he is found, even if it was justifiable that he was starving, when he's found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all his substance in his house, because the devil is a thief. John teaches us that Jesus' words, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So when you catch the thief trying to steal from you, the adversary, we have the right to ask God to make the devil to repay what he stole seven times. I want it all back. I want punitive damages for what he's done in my family. We need to stand up and start declaring who we are in Christ Jesus. We belong to the kingdom of God and of his Christ. Amen. My goodness. Jesus talked about the kingdom. He was building his kingdom. And a spiritual directive from Christ for the ecclesia, the church, is to conduct spiritual warfare, to engage this adversary, and to take possession and to have influence over professions and businesses and in our schools, and to occupy and be salt and light and have influence with our teachers, influence with those boards of supervisors and city councils. And we are to influence newspapers and the media and filmmakers and music production, every government office, every federal and statewide. We are to be people of influence because we're people of kingdom. Amen. Give possession back to God. God owns everything. Music came from God. All governments come from, listen, all comes from God. So it needs to get back in the hands of the one who gave it. And we are kingdom people. We need to possess what God told us belongs to us. Ever driven somewhere and you feel like on your way there, there's going to be a fight break out when I get there? You just have this premonition. It's kind of like Han Solo. I've got a bad feeling about this, you know? It's kind of like, let me rephrase that. Have you ever been to a family reunion? Okay. All right. You feel like everybody's on edge, right? And if one person brings it up, boom. I've driven to places in California. California's a beautiful state. Aren't you grateful for the beauty that God has created in the state of California? He has. And some people have chosen to run away. And some of us have chosen to stand and fight. And I believe God wants California to lift its hands and give glory to his name for the magnificence, that's right, that he's given to us. Amen? But frankly, there's some places I can drive to. My wife will tell you, it's kind of like a cat and a dog are in the room and the fur goes up like this, you know? When I'm driving literally over this into the city limits of a specific spot, like the hair on the back of my neck stands up because there's a spirit over that city. And I have a very sensitive ability to figure that out. And I mean, I react. The Holy Spirit in me reacts to that. And I said, do you feel that? Do you sense that? And it affects the Holy Spirit's work in you when you drive into those atmospheres. You come into the house of God. The Holy Spirit has a plan while we're here. He has a will and a purpose for us. If God's people will respond, if we'll forget about ourselves, we're not here for a fashion show. This is not a place for hookups and pickups. We begin to understand that our God is looking for an environment. He's looking for a people that have gathered in his name. God's looking for an atmosphere of expectation, an atmosphere of praise and worship. And when that atmosphere is heavy enough, it creates a space for the will of God to be manifested in time and space and done in our lives for healing inwardly and outwardly. And when we respond to spiritual influence, it creates an atmosphere. The atmosphere that is sustained creates a climate. I want our church to not just have an atmospheric moment, but a climate that when you drive by, before you ever get in the parking lot, you sense the presence of the Lord. See, we can have one hot day like Alaska does every now and then, but that doesn't create a hot climate. A climate is a predictable pattern. It tells you what it's likely to happen. So if we live in the valley in August, we don't need winter coats in August, do we? Right? When we keep worshiping the Lord, listen, we don't come here just because we're checking a box. We've come in here with our minds made up to create an atmosphere where God will be responsive, an atmosphere of worship, of celebration, of joy, of faith, of expectancy. Listen, God will show up just as predicted when those elements are in the service. And let's create a predictable pattern at Calvary Christian Center. Let's create a pattern. Some churches have a hot Sunday every now and then. We need to have a hot service every Sunday. Expectancy that God can do anything. Because the atmosphere sustained creates a climate. And the climate creates a way of thinking. And then that climate defines the culture of a place. Demon spirits want to define our culture. They're fighting with everything they've got to define the future of America. And once they get locked in, which they have done through our education system, very, very slickly, through government entities, that through everything that seems to be failing around us in bureaucracy, because principalities use personalities, there's been a climate created that is void of God and void of his values. Let's kick God out and have an anything we desire atmosphere. I don't believe that's the will of God for our community or for our state or for our nation. I don't believe any of that's the will of God. A culture, even in the church, where there's been little difference between Christian lifestyles and the culture's lifestyles. I knew we'd get quiet on that one. Huh? Where the moral values are very little difference between the two. In fact, they kind of reflect each other. We're supposed to have the influence in the culture. The culture is not to squeeze us into its mold, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to prove what is the perfect will of God. Amen? The enemy sets up that kind of environment, then he wants one thing. He wants to be left alone and undisturbed to weave the chains of bondage that he can, even in the church and outside the church and in the culture. That's why when Jesus walked into the synagogue on that particular Sabbath, there was a demon who cried out of a person, "Leave us alone!" Once Satan manipulates God out of our schools and imposes lifestyles that are immoral and teaches them clearly in all of the television productions and the movie productions, invading the music world, the arts, through education, through the people that are role models, everything reinforces the culture he desires, which is what? Wicked and godless. Camouflaged very nicely with some things that feel good and sound good and appear to be okay if you don't know Scripture. And then he says to you, leave us alone. Stay out of our business. He says, let's pass some laws to protect our style of activity. Let's pass laws that make all kinds of inappropriate drugs legal to use. You have a right to get high. You have a right to go out and murder that child. The church has been passive, sitting back, at ease on the major issues and moral values of our culture, on immorality, on abortion, and we think it's just kind of where we are. No, I wake up wondering, how did we get here? And what do we need to do to change this? Calvary, we can change the atmosphere. It's happened before in America, and it will happen again in America. I'm preaching uphill, and I'm going uphill. God has called us to push on that atmosphere, and we're pushing by the power of the Almighty Holy Spirit of God. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. We want anyone who wants to come to church to feel at home, coming into the house of God to be welcomed and loved and cared about and cared for, and that there's grace and forgiveness and reconciliation. We love everybody, but I refuse to stand here and allow Satan to destroy our community and destroy our nation. There are people dropping into hell every day across our land. We need to get the atmosphere to be one of love, the love of Jesus, and the message of the gospel into every home of every part of our community and our state. And the Holy Spirit is telling us to walk into our culture and displace evil with good, hatred with love. If the church should stand in the middle of all of this contestuous way of life that we're seeing going on and say, we've got a message. We've got something to add to this. I'm directed to stand here in the authority of Jesus to displace demonic power by the power of God's love through the Holy Spirit, to command every vexing spirit that torments God's people, to loose them, and for you to lift your hands and praise the Lord and to worship him and resist the devil so he flees from you. Are you tired of the evil atmosphere in our culture? Are you tired of an atmosphere of anger and hatred and violence? Aren't you tired of giving place to the devil because he's got a playground in our cities anymore? Don't praise the Lord out of duty. Praise him out of gladness of heart, because you're praising the one who at the end of all things stands victoriously, who wins in every case. We displace vexing spirits. We take authority over doctrines of devils, false doctrines, tormenting thoughts, false religion. We take authority over that in the name of the one and only Jesus, the Christ. We surrender our hearts to the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. He'll have preeminence starting in his church, then in our community, our state, our nation. His presence brings liberty and power through his name. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Thank the Lord. You've been fighting spiritual forces, and the Lord is declaring for his church spiritual freedom, spiritual deliverance. Our best days are ahead of us. The enemy's been defeated in each of our lives. Now let's go spread the good news. He can be defeated in the lives of everybody we come in contact with. How many recognize that the attacks that we're sensing in our country today are just not natural responses? There's evil inspiring them. There's a power targeting human life. And the atmosphere we create for the Holy Spirit will turn the tide in this battle. I see a new day dawning. I see a fresh day in our community, a freshness of the presence of God, of the love of the Lord. I see a new day dawn in our state, in our nation, where drug addiction's back is broken, where bitterness and anger and hatred and distrust are all broken and shattered, where division in the body of Christ is broken. Instead, the releasing of the Spirit of God and love and unity among God's people, because we love one another. That's how they know who we are. A new atmosphere, because new wine is here, ready to be poured out. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. So the Spirit of God in the Word says, praise God with gladness of heart. If you want depression to lift, begin to worship the Lord. If you want your home to stay the way it is, and this feeling of hopelessness, and listening to the media just pound and pound and pound until you're so confused, you don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore, then just be passive and just go along. They'll just drag you by the nose wherever they're going to take you. But the more you worship him, the more he will manifest in your life, create a new atmosphere. It's more than noise. We run the devil out of our lives when our hearts genuinely love the Lord. We put on the garment of praise. Amen? We declare what God says. Our best days are still ahead of us. Resist every doctrine of demons. We will not give this generation over to the devil. He will not take full control of our schools and our colleges. We are going to change the atmosphere because we're going to permeate it with God's word and God's presence. Don't praise the Lord out of duty, but worship the Lord with a glad heart and release an attitude of gratitude. There were no color barriers on the day of Pentecost, or in the first church. And Paul wouldn't allow them when he began to preach the gospel all over Asia. And he stopped any of that kind of discrimination from raising its ugliness in the body of Christ in the church. There were no color barriers when Pentecost fell at Azusa Street and people of all colors worshiped together. And there are no color barriers in the body of Christ, none whatsoever, because we love each other of people of faith. Amen? We have total authority over the enemy's lies. this kind of an atmosphere breaks those lies and thought patterns and breaks the back of the enemy, because the enemy seeks to divide. He seeks to wreck everything that God's put together in your life. We need a church like we have here, but full of the Holy Spirit, with seasoned leadership, listen, that knows how to deal with the enemy when he shows up in people's lives. Not this, well, let's just hold hands and think good thoughts. No, we need more than let's just hold hands and think good thoughts. We need spiritual power to say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, I've had all the defeat I'm going to have. I rebuke your influence in the name of Jesus. Let's ask God to cover, stand with me. Let's ask God to cover our schools, our teachers, our colleges, our government, amen, our law enforcement, our first responders, that God will cover them, and not just cover them, but we will love on them, amen, and displace the rulers of darkness with the message of light and truth. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he lit the world up that was dark, depressed, and without hope, with the message of reconciliation. And then he pointed to us and he said, now you are the light of the world. You take what I've done and replicate it everywhere you go. And let the love of Jesus be seen in the family of God and in every interaction you have with others. I'm excited about these days. I think this is our greatest opportunity. Yes, it's a test. Either we're going to rise to the top and be everything God's designed us to be, or fall by the wayside and say, why quit? No, I put too much seed in the soil over too many years of planting and watering and weeding and fertilizing. I expect a harvest. I'm believing for a harvest. And he said, you will have a harvest if you don't quit. Don't get weary in doing the right thing. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because then you're going to see it come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands with me. Bless you.